we saw that you cannot really compare Jesus in his perfect self with Jonah. That would be no comparison. Because Jonah was disobedient, Jesus was always obedient. You will notice this, that even after the transforming experience that Jonah had after the 3 days in the fish, we noticed that he still had much of the old character in him. He still grumbled when the Ninevites repented, because it proved that it seemed to make him lose his faith. Now we look at Christians and we find on the one hand it's so wonderful they have changed. But we also know that they still have quite a few faults. Just like Jonah. So now you can begin to see the beauty of the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is the sign of the Son of Man, which is the sign of the church. And we also find that the appropriateness of this point. That just as Jonah was really very literally baptized in the water, and rose up to a new life. So we see that these brothers and sisters who are being baptized, like Jonah, they are being baptized. They are going through the depths of the water. And they rise up to a new life. But also like Jonah, it was not just the physical baptism that made the difference. But it was that as Jonah was baptized, there was also with it a spiritual change in Jonah's heart. So becoming a Christian is not just a matter of being baptized. But it is also a matter of a spiritual transformation. And that is the point when we talk about resurrection. And the power of the resurrection. That we become dead to the world, to sin, and alive to God. It was in the belly of the fish that Jonah first died to the world. He was literally dead. As far as the world is concerned, he was buried under the water, but alive to God. We see that beautiful prayer that he prayed in Jonah chapter 2. So too, the spiritual change means that those being baptized die to the world and to their sins and now become alive to God. That is the resurrection. And as a consequence of this, it is as a consequence of this, because of this, and after this, that they become a sign to this generation. From now on, you and I, everyone who is truly a Christian, we are the sign that the world can see. That is how the world knows Jesus. They know Jesus through you and through me. That is how they see Jesus. They see Jesus in you and me. If they don't see Jesus in you and me, then they will not see Jesus anywhere at all. If we are not the sign to this generation, then this generation has no sign. And so this wonderful teaching shows us our responsibility in this generation as the sign that God gives to the world. That is why any Christian who does not live like a Christian, who does not behave like a Christian, as the Bible tells us, he is worse than a non-Christian. He is worse than a non-Christian because a non-Christian could not stumble another non-Christian. He cannot prevent him from coming to know God and enter into eternal life. Yes, you said my point for me. And that is how a Christian is worse because he can stumble the non-Christian. You don't need to translate that, you said it right. So we find then the beauty of the words of Jesus is that we, in our own life, as Christians, are the sign. We show forth Jesus to the world. But with privilege comes responsibility. That's why I have said to people, don't be in a hurry to get baptized. That's why I never pressurize or hurry anyone to be baptized. If anyone says to me they are not quite sure yet, I say, you wait. Just wait until you are really sure. The great responsibility and the great privilege of that responsibility is that from now on, the world will see God, will see Jesus in us. And let no Christian make excuses, because God doesn't listen to excuses. Never say to other people, well, don't look at me. I'm not much of a Christian, you know. You just believe in God. What's the matter? Is the power of the resurrection not enough for you? Is the power of the resurrection not enough to change you? If it were not enough to change you, why become a Christian at all? Apostle Paul says, look at me. Wow, you say, Paul, you're too proud. Paul says more than that. He says, imitate me as I am imitator of Christ. Wow, you say, Paul, I mean, I didn't know you were so proud. Paul is not proud. He is confident is in what God can do in him. He said, I am the least of the apostles, not even fit to be called an apostle, he says at the end of Corinthians. I am the least, the most unimportant of the apostles, not even fit to be called an apostle. In another place he says, I am so of myself, left to myself alone, I am the chief of sinners. But then he goes on to say, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me the power. To become a Christian is to talk about power. To become a Christian is not just to talk about teaching, about doctrine, about theology. For many people, being a Christian is just so much talk. Who wants to be a Christian if being a Christian is just a matter of talk? To become a Christian is a matter of power. All through the Bible, this is made very clear to us. It is the power of God that we are talking about. In Corinthians, when Paul says he wants to examine certain so-called self-professed Christians, he says this, "When I come, I want to see not their talk, but their power." I wouldn't have been like to be too much in the position of those false Christians when Paul came on the scene. Because he doesn't want to listen to your talk, he wants to look at the power in your life. And when we talk about the power of God, we are talking about the power of the resurrection. For there is nowhere where his power is more greatly seen than in the resurrection. And now, if physical resurrection is wonderful, how much more is spiritual resurrection? Which is easier for God to do, to raise the physically dead or to raise the spiritually dead? Of course, it is exactly the same. It is the same power that raises the physically dead as that raises the spiritually dead. Just as no man can raise the spiritually dead, so no man can raise the physically dead who are truly dead. But as I think about it, it seems to me that to raise the spiritually dead is in a sense even harder than raising the physically dead. But however that may be, it is the same mighty power, and only that power can do it, the power of God's resurrection. So maybe at this resurrection, on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, think about this responsibility that we have laid upon us, that what Jesus is saying to us is this, that we, as the Son of, as the Church, as the Son of Man incarnate, we are the sign of Jonah to this generation. If up to now, if you are not a Christian, and you have only heard about the resurrection of Christ, then I'm asking you today not just to listen to it, but to come and experience that power in your own life. Maybe right now you are like Jonah, running away from God. But then you may also become like Jonah as he prays and calls out to God in his distress from the belly of the fish. When he is swallowed up by the power of death.
just as you are swallowed up by the power of spiritual death. And which, if you are not delivered from it, will soon mean you will be swallowed up also by physical death. For we know that unless Jonah called out to God in the belly of the fish and cried out in his distress as he does in Jonah chapter 2, he would have perished in the belly of the fish. If he were not saved, he would have died. But then, having been delivered, so he became the sign to the people of the world, to the people of Nineveh. And he became that sign precisely because he experienced in his own life the power of God's resurrection, the saving power of God. And the whole point is that we are not just reading a story about Jonah, it is something that you can experience of what God can do in your life. Is that story true? Well, find out in your own experience. The God who can save you, can he not save Jonah? And the God who can save Jonah, can he not save you? And if you are a Christian, and I say this also to those now just being baptized, I say to you too, don't say to yourself, well, I'm a Christian now, that's the end of the matter. You're at the very beginning of the road. These are early days. You've got a long way to go yet. You're going to experience not only the beginning of that power, but that continuing power that operates in the world day by day. Like the Apostle Paul, I say too, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection every day. That I experience this every day. And this I do experience every day. This is the joy of the Christian life. I experience that power constantly, working in my life as it will, as that power also works in the life of others. This is the joy, this is the excitement, this is the power of the Christian life. Let us be quiet before God's prayer.